Welcome to People Power and Politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
Hello and welcome. Today we are joined by a distinguished leader, advocate for change, and policy expert, Dr. Patrick C. Graham. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Graham.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I was prepared to speak to you about George Floyd and the trial for Derek Chauvin, and here we have another black man killed in Minnesota by a police officer.
And unfortunately, too, it's a young man, Deontay Wright, which we have a 26-year veteran who, for some reason, claims they forgot the difference between a gun and another device. And so here we are with another young black male dead who we really don't have to have in this situation. So I think that one of the things that is being evident is that black males in particular, a lot of what I would call blue bravado has taken over. And we have just begun to see just a total emasculation of black males in these situations. Even when they're complying, you see some of the same type of activity with Lieutenant Karan Nazario, actually, in Windsor, Virginia, as well, who wasn't killed, but actually could have been easily another victim based on the behavior of some officers. So I think that there's a lot of work to do here.
Oh, definitely. And you spoke during your initial write-up regarding George Floyd and the Derek Chauvin trial about the desire for democracy and transformation. How can the black Americans have hope at this time that they'll see any type of progress in regards to the George Floyd trial in lieu of this new incident?
Well, I think that what we have to do is keep using this as fuel. And I know that it does test black resilience. But what we also understand is that over time, as I cite in the article, any time that we have actually stood up for justice and rights, we saw it after slavery into Reconstruction. We've seen it in our civil rights movement. We see it in today's modern human rights movement, Black Lives Matter movement. Every time that black folk have stood up, it actually allows others to walk in the door of our democracy. And I believe that this time, though, that black people want more for themselves. And I believe that that is important, and I believe that is right. And so one of the things that we have to do is be vigilant. We have to actually really support in a very strategic way a lot of these movements to change policies and laws. So this is not about sort of taking it just to the streets and activism and protest, but it is really about trying to get some policies changed. Some of the immunity policies that we provide for police officers and even those in the court system, we have to really start rethinking those and relooking at them. The other thing is we're going to have to really start taking a closer look at policies that allow people to join the police force in the first place. So really looking much deeper at psychological patterns, looking at even education levels. All of these, I think, are going to play a part in some important decisions that we'll have to make going forward.
Now, you mentioned psychological patterns. What are your thoughts about community policing?
Well, I think that community policing works. I said, but in this environment, too, you have to ensure that you have individuals who are mentally able to be open to listen to communities and really have empathy for them as they are actually in those communities and many of them operating outside of it. I've actually always preferred community policing where you had officers that actually lived in the community. I think it adds a different dimension to it. It adds a different type of empathy for it as opposed to having folks outside of it come in. So I think there are some advantages to community policing, particularly when you have people who are really close to those that they're interacting with. So they don't come in as overseers, but they really come in as community members trying to solutions and also play off the strengths of those communities.
Definitely. And you mentioned a lot, not just as far as people taken to the street with emotion, but actually taking steps to change the policy. So what steps could an individual like myself or someone else who's concerned about what's happening, what can they do as an individual to make a difference?
I think one of the first things is try to see those who have passions that resemble yours. So if you really think about what you're passionate about and what you want to see changed in your community, try to find others who actually have some of those same desires. I think the other thing, too, is to really get engaged at the local level. Remember that most of these cases actually are really local government issues that now we see get a national stage or international stage in this case. And so I would say if you can get involved in committees, nonprofit or social organizations within your community that actually have direct impacts on your local government first. And then from there, people can then look at what are some of the national policies that need to be changed, but through those local lenses, because at the end of the day, it's going to be about where you actually live and where you have to interact on a daily basis that you'll feel the most impact on your life.
Now, you mentioned earlier that Black people are wanting more. Can you elaborate on that statement?
Well, I think that now there's no more room and no turning back the clock on allowing Black folk to be targeted in the way that we've seen in some of these cases. So one is that there's no more lip service to it. And so one of the things I suggest even in my op-ed was, no matter what the verdict is of this case, which I hope not just guilty, but guilty to the fullest extent of the law, no matter though what the verdict is, this is going to lay the groundwork for continued movement in Black communities that and others and allies that are not going to change. This is about a transformative moment. It is just like the civil rights movement that you saw in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. It is very similar to Reconstruction, that we're really trying to reconstruct the way that we look at people of color and their roles here in our society. But I think that overall, this is the largest movement that we've ever witnessed in our history. And I believe that technology has a lot to do with that and the ability for us to connect across the globe. And so I think right now you're witnessing an international movement in which Black folks will never go backwards or never take concessions on our rights. I believe that, and I believe that this will be a movement that will be sustainable.
I hear the passion in your voice, Dr. Graham. If you can just share in your final thoughts, what compelled you to speak out on these issues and what we can expect to hear from you in the future?
Well, one, I'm a Black man, and I've experienced moments of bravado, of blue bravado with law enforcement. So I can totally understand and empathize with what my brothers and sisters go through. But two, there's another reason why I'm passionate. I'm passionate because I believe that Black and brown people in particular are actually going to be our largest talent pool going forward in the 21st century. And if we don't nurture and develop talent in these communities, we will actually fail as a nation. And so I take that passion into it. So one of the things that you will see more from me is deeper advocacy for economic and social justice. I don't lose sight of the fact that a lot of this too is about economic justice. So that it puts us in a position where we can even have more of a say in what happens in our judicial systems, in our economic systems, and our social education systems. And overall, the other reason why I'm passionate about this particular issue and what causes me to say something is that I actually love Black people.
Yes, definitely, Dr. Graham, and it comes through. And I want to thank you so much for your time today. We are definitely going to have to invite you back because you shared some words of wisdom with us today. Just want to thank you for joining us today, Dr. Graham.
Well, thank you for having me. God bless you, and let's continue to fight.
Yes, definitely. And we want to thank our listeners for joining us with our interview with Dr. Patrick C. Graham. You have been listening to People, Power, and Politics.
People, Power, and Politics. Hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People, Power, and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.